It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break. But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hey, how are you today? Thanks so much for tuning into Business Breakthrough. Here we talk all about how do you grow and build your service business in a way that you can break through being the bottleneck and break through those income plateaus so that you can break through to new levels of personal and financial success. I mean, hey, that's why we went into business, isn't it? Yeah, I thought so. So hi, I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. You know, I wanted to share with you something that I was chatting with my friend and colleague, Dawn Fotopoulos, about. You may have heard me mention her before. She's the author of Accounting for the Number Phobic. Terrific, terrific book. It's an Amazon Best Business Book of 2015, so definitely get your copy. But part of what we were talking about over a couple of glasses of wine is the number 10 trillion. No, it's not the national debt or the deficit or anything like that. 10 trillion represents this. It's that as the baby boomer generation begins to retire, there are over 7.5 million businesses in the United States that represent $10 trillion in wealth that are going to need to change hands. Think about that. 7.5 million businesses representing over $10 trillion in wealth. And these are privately held companies. But here's the rub. Over 75% of those business owners say they don't know how they're going to retire. They don't know how they're going to exit from their businesses. So what happens if the only option they have is to close their doors? I mean, I just found that number absolutely, actually all of the numbers are not only 10 trillion, which is just, it's huge, but that over 75% of business owners don't know where they're going with their business. That really surprised me. So we want to make sure that that is also not you. So keep listening. And by the way, if, you know, I know in some weeks you may not have time to listen to the entire show. And that's why I'm really excited that we're starting to put into place an executive summary for you. It's an executive summary of the program that we're going to do every week. So if you don't have time to get to the podcast, you can at least see and read really quickly what we're doing and get the highlights. Boom. So go to businessexponential.com and get yourself signed up. And now for our guest today. I'm really happy to have Meredith Bell on our show because not only has she been an entrepreneur for over 30 years and is just a terrific person, but she has reinvented herself and reinvented her business in a way that it doesn't have to close when she decides she wants to do other things. So she started and with her partners delivering consulting and training one-on-one services and ultimately created a software platform to help consultants and coaches and HR professionals really leverage what they do for their clients in a way that helps them develop a much greater and stronger business. So I'm really excited to have her share her insights and how she developed that, how she got her mind wrapped around why expand in this way, and how that can help all of us walk away wealthy with our part of that $10 trillion. And I'm just delighted to have her here on Business Breakthrough. Meredith, thanks so much for joining us today.
Nina, I'm delighted to be here with you.
Great. Would you share with us a little bit about your background? You have an interesting trajectory starting in the consulting world, and now you're a software mogul. So just a little bit about your background and the needs you saw that made you move in this slightly different direction.
Oh, sure. Yes. For several years, I did consulting and training with companies in the area of leadership development, team development, and of course, assessments were a part of what I was doing. And I had also merged my solo practice with another consultant, Denny Coates. He and I have now been business partners, and we have a third partner that have worked together for 25 years. Ooh. But back when we were consultants, we were you know, always looking for good tools to use with our clients. And back in the early 90s, we were really frustrated because we wanted to use 360 degree feedback. It wasn't well known back then, but it's an important piece for people to really find out their blind spots and also strengths. But most of the tools out there were very rigid, you know, a set of items. They were expensive and it simply didn't work for us. And so we got to thinking about how we could create something ourselves. And we happened to have a resource in a software developer who was great to work with. And so we decided that we were going to create our own tool. And we did that and we started using it just with our own clients. And we made it, you know, customizable so we could change the questions if we wanted to. And we got to thinking, you know, this is a way to really make something available that the world doesn't have right now. And to be honest, we were kind of tired of getting on planes and we really had this big vision to have a greater impact. And when you're performing the service yourself, you know, there's only so much of you to go around. So you're limited in the number of people you can actually serve. So we made the conscious decision that now that we had developed this tool, we found that it worked well with our own clients. We wanted to transition from being a consulting firm to a software company. And what was great about it is we ended up working with a lot of other consultants who started using our tool. And it was a natural for me to work with them because I had been one and mm-hmm. I knew their world. I understand the challenges that they faced. And we also introduced it to companies. But our focus was to do something really different, you know, kind of turn that 360 feedback technology on its head so that we wanted something customizable so clients that created their own set of competencies could embed those rather than this other rigid set. We wanted it to be easy to use and manage locally rather than back in those days, you remember scan forms.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's how most companies worked. You had to have people fill out these form, pack them up and send them in. And we said, you know what, let's create software they can install and manage locally. And we wanted it to be economical because we firmly believe that everybody needs feedback, not just the top managers. So that was our mission, you know, that's over 20 years ago now. And it still drives us today where we have users, you know, worldwide with our software. And we love, you know, serving them. And we realized our strengths as individuals and as a company were best suited. Denny, for the development, you know, he's a really an idea guy who creates and synthesizes amazing information. And then I was good on the sales and marketing side, and we both had the content to contribute. So those were our core skills, and we felt that it was best to empower other people with the tool that we had created rather than us continuing to do that delivery. Great. Personally.
Thank you. And so in to pick up on a couple of really interesting and important pieces that you mentioned, the first is that when you're a coach or a consultant, you know, any kind of service provider. So Meredith, you touched on a number of really important points in terms of building out a coaching and consulting business. And one of them is the follow-up. So can you speak to, you know, even though, yes, you created your own technology tool, how can technology help coaches and consultants in follow-up that might otherwise fall through the cracks?
One of the first things to think about is, because we experience this ourselves, Nina, you know, no matter how effective we felt our training was, and sometimes it was, you know, one day, it might be multiple days, but the fact is that people don't master a skill when they first get introduced to it. So that's what I want to really address first, is this whole idea that the truth is companies invest billions of dollars every year in training, and a lot of it doesn't stick because there is no follow-up and reinforcement included. And if you just think about what happens if somebody goes to, let's say, a tennis pro or a golf pro or a music teacher, whatever skill you are trying to acquire, you don't just get the lessons and then walk away and suddenly become an expert. It requires a lot of practice. It requires going back to the coach, letting the coach watch you do it and, you know, give you feedback along the way. And so I think a lot of times inside organizations, there's simply not this understanding of what it really takes to master a skill. So money gets spent on sending people to training, and then they get back on the job. And because the old habit is physically hardwired in the brain, they don't engage that new behavior. Because think about it, when you get in a situation like somebody says something that really, you know, sets you off, unless you've practiced a new way of composing yourself, you're likely to resort to what you've always done, because that's actually hardwired in your brain. So if the people conducting the classes don't understand that, and they have this, you know, world-class training event or an outstanding speaker that comes in and nothing else is done afterwards, it's a very tiny percentage of people that will have the motivation and the discipline to integrate that information and really start practicing it on an ongoing basis until it becomes a new habit.
And
that
makes
sense?
Yes, it does. And as I think about some of the workshops I've attended, you feel so fabulous while you're there, because part of what is created is the supportive environment where the new habits or the new techniques or the new learning is actually used and supported and encouraged. And then you come back to the workplace and you dip a baby toe into those new habits and boom, you know, the door gets slammed on you.
Mm-hmm.
and you don't have the resilience yet to know how to keep trying.
Well, you just hit on a really important point, and that is with any new behavior pattern that you're trying to establish, whether it's a skill like listening, you know, or something that's brand new that you've never done before, it takes a support system to really help you stick with it, because you're going to get discouraged. If you remember that whole four-phase process where you have from unconscious incompetence, where you really don't even recognize that you don't have the awareness yet that you need help. And when you, a lot of times when people go to training, then it becomes conscious incompetence. They realize, oh, I don't know how to do this. And then the real crux of it is in the next steps, where they become consciously competent. They're really focused on doing it well, but it takes effort and it's not easy, because they're fighting that old wiring. And then the fourth step is where it becomes unconscious competence, where you do it automatically. It's the way that you do it. And I like to use an analogy going from a dirt road to a superhighway, because that's what we're really talking about. When somebody goes into a training program, you know, if it's a leadership skill, for example, like how to give feedback or, you know, resolving conflicts, most of us, by the time we've reached adulthood, have a way of dealing with those things. You know, we have our way of doing it. And we can't just automatically switch to another way because it is hardwired. So the initial phase of learning how to do it differently, let's say it's somebody wanting to learn how to be a better listener, and they've had this habit of interrupting people or finishing sentences. We've all experienced that, right?
Oh, I know nothing about that. Nothing about that.
So they want to commit to really letting people finish, but that's not their way. And so initially, it's going to be difficult. It's sort of like getting on this dirt road. It's going to be a bumpy ride at first, because you've got these brain cells you're trying to connect into a stronger wiring, but you don't have it there yet. And so it takes time, and you've got this competition from this other road, so to speak, that's already pretty smooth. But you've got to take the time to build, go through the construction phase, if you will, to build that superhighway. And it takes practice and it takes a lot of repetition. And it really is best done in a support system. Like you were just mentioning, when you're in a in the classroom environment, you typically have that kind of system. But when you go back on the job, it's not there. And a lot of times the person's manager is just expecting them to magically start implementing whatever it was that they were taught, but the manager has not been fully informed on what he or she can do to support that person. And so, you know, the notebook goes on the shelf and they never look at it again.
So you're touching on an important area and some ripe opportunities for coaches and consultants to expand their practice, because to the extent that, let's say, employees go through a program just that one time, you're not necessarily going to get results because people aren't going to magically be transformed and your entire work environment isn't going to magically be transformed. So it takes that repetition and support and ongoing training. So rather than having coaches and consultants try to do all this themselves, what are some of the ways that technology platforms can help them either in the follow-up with their clients or help them to expand their practices or demonstrate better results so that they get more opportunities to come back?
Mm-hmm. Of course, we've built such a tool, but I don't want to get into, you know, necessarily the details of all of ours. Let me talk about some of the components. One is there's got to be a coaching component where there is a way for the coach to stay in touch with the client to offer the support, the encouragement. You know, if you think about programs like Alcoholics Anonymous, any of those 12-step programs, or even Weight Watchers, they have this built-in support and accountability system. Even Marshall Goldsmith, one of the top executive coaches in the world, pays his own coach to call him every day with a set of questions. And that helps keep it top of mind for him, what's important for him, what he's going to focus on throughout the day, because he knows he's going to have that conversation.
Right.
So I think that's a key component for coaches to be able, or consultants too, to be able to structure and build it in upfront with clients. So they educate the client about what really is required in order to make sure you get the results you want. It's not a one-shot deal. It needs to be reinforced over time. So designing with the client what that will look like, what's realistic based on the demands of the people that they will be working with. You know, is it a weekly touching base, you know, every couple of weeks, once a month? The more frequent the touch points, the more likely it is that the person is going to really focus on performing those actions because they know they're going to have someone to report back to.
Sure.
So that accountability piece is really key. In some companies, they, you know, can set up people, let's say that went through a training together, they can have accountability partners where class participants support each other. But it still helps to have that third party that they know they're going to be reporting back to say, here's how it went. And the other piece of it is there needs to be this structured opportunity for practice, and not just practice, but learning from what happens, so that it isn't, you know, because it's possible, Nina, that as they're practicing this skill back on the job, they're trying, but they're not getting it right. Mm-hmm. And yet they're not getting feedback that they're not doing it well. So they start repeating doing it poorly and don't understand. So the whole idea of processing for themselves and possibly with someone else, how did it go? And so there's a series of questions that they can ask themselves to go through that learning, so they take away additional knowledge that they can apply the next time.
Okay. And these are things that can be automated through technology. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Excellent. And then how does having that kind of follow-up platform help coaches and consultants leverage an assignment instead of making it a one-off, perhaps turning it into a longer long-term engagement and develop recurring revenue streams?
Well, I think it's a pretty exciting opportunity because that educational piece with the client needs to be done up front so that the client isn't expecting them to come in and wave their magic wand in a single session and, you know, everybody is suddenly improved. I think it's setting the expectations up front about what you can realistically expect and then mapping out a structure that provides opportunities for ongoing support, coaching, input over a period of time. And one of the things that a technology can do is allow a coach to serve more clients because you can facilitate interactions with them through the technology as opposed to always having to have a phone call.
Mm.
In ours, for example, there's exercises that the client would complete and at their convenience, and then the coach or consultant can read through them and respond at a time that's good for them. And this is especially great when they're working in different time zones. And also, it's just a matter of not having to schedule a call, which can take 15 minutes, you know, half an hour or an hour, and be able to have an exchange that's convenient for both of them. Not a personal interaction, but doing it through a system like what we have. So they could also do some group coaching and be in contact with clients again more often. And it wouldn't require the clients to dedicate huge amounts of time either. But let's say you had people from a class, a leadership class, and you wanted to be able to continue doing follow-up. Well, if you had monthly calls, let's say, where they all are going to be calling in and you would have assigned them to focus on certain activities, and through a technology where you're able to stay in touch with them, you have a pretty good sense of who has had a really great success story. So you could get them, you know, feature them up front, and you could have Q&A based on what people have been sharing through the technology about what's gone well, what hasn't. So the coaching sessions can be very targeted and very productive and helpful for people because you know, it's sort of like with marketing, when you know what pain your target audience has, you can speak to it more effectively. Mm-hmm. So it's a way of getting inside somebody's head in between those coaching calls. And so that to me is a way to help people get better results over time. For one thing, they're working on it longer and they can practice it more, but also they have this opportunity for the interaction, and it becomes cost effective for the client organization because they're not having to fly in the consultant, you know, to have these in-person meetings and don't have to necessarily be one-on-one. They can be done in a group.
Great. So let me ask, the idea of creating your own tech platform, which is, I mean, it makes my head want to spin and turn and look like something out of The Exorcist. how did the idea of really just at least at first integrating technology into your business come to you? Did it first come as a, okay, let's do something customized simply because, you know, Denny had a son who was in the business? Or had you already been noodling on that as a way to give yourself an opportunity to serve more people?
Well, when we developed the 360 tool, it definitely a need we had with our clients because there simply wasn't a tool like the one we wanted. And interesting, Nina, one of the things we ended up building into that was a kind of primitive at the time, because it's been over 15 years ago that we created it. Within that was this other follow-up tool, because we knew 360 feedback by itself doesn't change behavior any more than a training class, unless people actually apply it, you know, decide what they're going to work on. There, nothing's going to happen. So we developed a little tool that each person who got feedback could use. Again, those who had someone coaching them were more effective in utilizing it. But that started the seed for what today is our ProStar Coach platform, which really combines all the learnings that we acquired through our years of consulting and coaching, and also incorporates the learnings from all the hundreds of consultants and coaches we've worked with as customers of our first product. What is it that would make a powerful tool to help people really transform their old behaviors into new behaviors?
Right. So as, let's say, coaches and consultants and creative small business owners are eager to integrate that kind of technology into their business, are there particular functions that they should absolutely look for within those technology platforms to make sure that they're taken care of and getting a full service solution?
I definitely think so. I think that there are a few different components. And again, this goes back to all the pieces that we realized are needed. One is obviously having some really good content around those skills that they're teaching to when they conduct training or when they're working with any of the folks who are in the client organizations. There needs to be a structure built in that helps the person, you know, focus, decide what area to focus on, what particular skill, if they acquire a new one, which one will help them really have the greatest impact in terms of their performance and effectiveness. So they need to have a way of figuring out what that focus should be. And of course, they can use other external tools that will give them that, like a 360 tool, or there could be some kind of assessment component built into the system where the person either can self-assess or get input from other people about what area would have the greatest impact, let's say, on their stakeholders and their effectiveness with those folks. Another piece is, you know, a lot of e-learning systems that are out there are what I think of as passive. Mm-hmm. A person logs in, they consume a piece of content, whether it's a video or an article, and sometimes they're given a knowledge test afterwards. But a key point is knowledge or knowing is not the same as doing. So it's important for a technology, I think, to not just have somebody log in and access material and test whether they understood what they read, but more importantly, they commit to take action. What is it they're going to actually implement back on the job? And then from there, once they've implemented it, how did it go? How can they learn from that component that encourages them to reflect on lessons learned, I think is also important. And then this whole area of coaching and support. Who is going to care about this person? And in reality, those who have been impacted by the person's work or simply need to work with that person. It could be an external consultant or coach that's the key accountability coach, but there could be other support coaches. So we think of it as sort of a network of people that are interested in supporting this person's development so that as the person works on the particular skill, they have the opportunity to get ongoing feedback from folks on how am I doing without having to go meet with them individually and say, okay, am I on track or not? because that takes so much time. And right. Unless, you know, very high performing organizations will do this. I think of Denny and Paula and me with our 25 years of working together. You know, we've gotten into a really good rhythm of giving each other feedback on a regular basis or, you know, stating what we need. But a lot of companies don't have that kind of culture. And so this whole thing of developing a coaching culture is a real passion of mine, because I think when people adopt the sincere approach of supporting and helping someone else and understanding what that looks like, well, now you've got a lot of people involved in that support process. So going back again to our external consultant or coach, one of the ways that a consultant and coach can have even greater and lasting impact with their work is to be involved in developing this coaching culture that goes beyond just, say, the individual managers that they're working with. So they help educate everyone there. And I think that the more the person being coached can understand, you know, I'm a I'm a learner here. I'm a lifelong learner. And if I can acknowledge where I have, you know, made mistakes and apologize and work to improve, people respect that and will rally behind someone and want to support that. That to me is all part of developing a healthy coaching culture in a company.
Great. So Meredith, you know, you've touched on a lot of really important points. And I think also for that external coach consulting business as well, that technology can help them develop a more collaborative culture by actually having a platform where other service providers can get involved in serving the client, finding more ways to interact virtually and really creating their own learning culture by virtue of sharing this with their own clients. So I just want to thank you for being with us here today on Business Breakthrough. A lot of wonderful, wonderful insights.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very much, Nina. It was great to be with you.
Hey, thanks for listening. Remember, go over to businessexponential.com right now and download our 10 steps to a $1 million business. We lay it out for you step by step. The 10 building blocks that'll have you building and growing your business so it's not so dependent on you. Won't that be a relief? Of course it will. So do it right this minute so you don't forget. You'll see it there on top of the homepage. Go to businessexponential.com.